Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 784. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, no Paris, by the way, we have Pete in the house. Pete, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good, man. Just a lot of Smash Brothers news today. I'm excited about that. Yeah, okay. Of course, you know, Switch stuff.
I know.
Very excited about that. I've been playing a lot of Dead Cells.
Interesting.
Nonstop.
Okay.
Yeah. But we have a special guest. We have a special guest here, and we have Alex from Boomstick Gaming. Alex, what's up, man? He's also a fan of Dead Cells. What's up?
Yeah, I am. Simon Belmont in Smash, guys. Come on.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a big news today with that, right? Crazy.
That's what I'm excited about.
Wow.
So crazy, I don't get, and maybe that's because I'm the old 44-year-old dude here, right? I'm gonna take the place of Paris since he's not here on the show. And be the cantankerous old one right now. I don't get the hype about Super Smash Brothers, and I don't understand the over the top overhype that like we see fans of the game. I'm not saying that it's wrong to be a fan about stuff. I'm okay with that. It's the it's the hooting and hollering and the freaking out because of a character in Super Smash Brothers. Explain to me why the hype.
It's like, remember we were sitting down and watching the Division presentation, Pete, and they were just dropping bombs left and right, and we just looked at each other like that reaction, like, what?
Yeah, but you we weren't jumping up and down and freaking out.
Pete, man, you know, everybody's different. I was excited today. I was just jumping around, and it wasn't because of the character announcements. It was more about the amount of content that's in that game that I've never seen that from Nintendo ever. Mm-hmm. I think this is the biggest content wise biggest game from Nintendo, period. So much stuff, man. We're gonna talk about that later on. Boomstick, Alex, right? You agree with me about that, man? It was more about the content, right?
That's got a crazy amount of content in it. When I saw the part where you could like meld two stages together and battle on them like at the same time, I'm like, they're just going insane. They don't have to do all this. They're going the extra mile on this Smash. It's pretty awesome.
And there's supposedly more announcements coming up. That's crazy. Ooh. Man. Ooh, yeah. Crazy.
Hopefully they have an adventure mode or something.
Yes. Single player, man. Definitely done with that. But Alex, man, let's talk, man. Because the way how I heard about you, man, you know, I usually subscribe to a lot of like YouTube channels, big and small. You know, I just love the content with people, you know, post about different games. And the way I heard about you was because of a situation that happened with one of the writers that used to work at IGN. We'll talk about that in a few. But that how I found out about you. So I'm going to support you and subscribe to your channel, of course, because I checked out your other videos.
Awesome,
it's pretty
you.
Cool. Yeah, but tell us a little bit about yourself and everything that happened this week. I mean, it's been like a crazy week for you, man, right?
Yeah, it's been a weird 48 hours. So I guess a little bit about myself in YouTube. I started in 2006 just doing it as a hobby. I've actually considered this a hobby up until like this point in time. I actually think YouTube kind of is a 2 out of 10 career and like a 10 out of 10 hobby. It's good for people that just want to video edit and put content out there. You know, some of the issues arise with, I think, a lot of the advertising on there and everything. Don't want to go down that road. What was I talking about? Myself?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like a drink here.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Take your time, man.
A little strung out, guys. Sorry. So I didn't really start taking YouTube all that seriously until about 5 years ago, where I rebranded the channel to Boomstick Gaming. That's where I really tried to double down on the quality of my content, do game reviews. I try not to do over-the-top, fanatical kind of content, more down-to-earth approach. And that's led us to this situation now. I've seen a lot of views this year on my Monster Hunter videos, which has been awesome. And yeah.
All right, cool. And what happened this week, man, with one of your reviews? Let's go with that.
Well, it's a weird thing. Like, the internet knows way more about this than me. I haven't, like, followed a lot about the gentleman Philip or a lot of his. I've been mostly answering questions and kind of working on. I've been working on a review for We Happy Few that I promised everybody that would get done tonight. So I'm gonna have to bounce here in a little bit. Yeah, it was surprising when I was perusing IGN because, man, I always like visit IGN for decades now. Let me think about my wording for a second.
Yeah,
it's a good place for, you know, seeing the news on new games, and their reviews have slightly waned in the past 5 or so years for me personally. And that's kind of when I started doing my own reviews. But I remember back in the day, like the prestige of IGN giving like The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time a 10 out of 10 back when like a 10 out of 10 meant something, and like, you know, school arguments about which is better between Final Fantasy VII or Ocarina of Time, where it's like, oh, IGN gave it a 10 out of 10. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on IGN. I mean, I still frequent the site.
Yeah, and you know what? I know Tina and the team over there at IGN, shout out to them, because I know they've been trying to handle the situation, and I think they handled it pretty perfectly, man, like with the whole situation that happened with, you know, one of your reviews of Dead Cells, that I believe Philip, that's his name, Philip, I forgot his last name, but he basically copy and paste your review, man, from your YouTube video, and he did like his own version, just changed like the wording here and there. But checking out the comparison of the video that you posted, it seems like it was like from the beginning to the end almost similar to yours, man. And how in the world you found out about that? Because that is kind of hard to actually, especially an editor, to find that online when somebody, you know, copy like their content to like another video and stuff. So how that came up, man?
Okay, well, I think it was early that morning, and I saw their review was out, and my review had come out, you know, days earlier, and I was kind of just wondering what they gave the game. Mm-hmm. And I do what, like, 99% of all you do. I went straight to verdict, and down there in the verdict summary, I started to see some of my verbiage, and I was actually playing a match of Fortnite with my buddy at the time. I'm like, what? This is really weird. I think IGN... I must have watched my video because I used like just one sentence there at the end. And then after a while, I'm like, man, maybe I should watch their video review. And then, you know, I'm like, wait, there's a lot of this that, you know, is my verbiage kind of intertwined throughout it.
Has something like this ever happened to you before? Is this like the first instance of you seeing your work plagiarized or paraphrased or copied running wild on the internet?
Yeah, 100%. This is only thing that's happened to me.
Have you ever seen instances of this happening to others in the creative space?
Only probably on YouTube with, you know, like stealing, big game trailers and posting them yourselves, or, you know, old school 2010 kind of YouTube stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you, were you nervous? You probably didn't know what to do in that situation like that, right? When you found out about it.
Yeah, I'm most confident in making a video, video editing, more so than like verbal speech like I'm doing now, or even written. So that's what I went to video, and that's how I effectively conveyed the issue.
And you know what, Alex, I was reading your tweets, man, and I got to give you a lot of props to you and also to the team at IGN, man. Like, you know, you guys kept it cool. Like, you were not posting crazy stuff on Twitter. You were very classy, man. Even if you didn't agree with, you know, what Philip did, man, I think you handled the situation pretty well too, man. I got to give you a lot of props for that, man. Because usually a lot of, especially on the internet, man, people will freak out and start cursing and posting all this crazy stuff, you know what I'm saying? So got to give you mad props for that, man.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Colin Moriarty hooked you up. I mean, he was like, yeah. We know he's got no hair on his tongue when it comes to scenarios like this, and he usually goes all in on people. And yeah, I think I'm looking at it right now. It says, I like your graciousness and your willingness to forgive. Says a lot about you. It actually does. It shows the maturity level of you, because you could have gone in on whether it be Philip or IGN in general, and you know, you were a class act, and you know, it's something that you don't see a lot of whether it's on the internet or Twitter itself. So glad to see there's still good dudes out there doing good work. Yep. And staying respectful.
Yeah, man, I've tried to stay positive throughout this whole thing, and I guess that's just really my demeanor anyways. Sadly, the issue isn't 100% happy and resolved, but can't touch on that. But yeah, been trying to stay positive, and whatever happens, happens.
So the one question, it's been ever since Danny told me that you were going to be on the show, it's the one question that I've wanted to ask you. Since the articles came out, I think you were at like 11,000 or 12,000 subscribers on your YouTube channel. And as of right before the show, I did a refresh and you were over 45,000. You know, that's a massive 300% jump on subscribers on your channel. How are you dealing with all this newfound optics and popularity and success on your channel?
It hasn't really fully set in yet. It's, I mean, it's not quite like YouTube subscribers equals guaranteed money on every video. Some videos will be 400 views, and then like a Monster Hunter video I put out has 1.6 million. a similar thing happened earlier in the year. I was at 900 some subscribers at the start of 2018, and I got that nice YouTube email that they're demonetizing anybody under 1,000 subscribers. And I go, oh, hell no. This is, literally the next video I put out was that 1.6 million view Monster Hunter video.
That's cool.
I was pretty proud
of that.
That's
really cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And I want to say this too, man. If you guys are listening this, please make sure to go to YouTube and support Alex, man, because he has a lot of great content there, man. But Alex, one last question. I know you have to leave in a few, man. Your reaction with the statement from IGN, because I know they hit you up on Twitter and they were really cool. They were giving you props and everything. And I was very surprised and happy to see that Tina and the team over there, in the statement, they actually mentioned you and everything too, and gave you your props too. You know, so your thoughts about that, the statement from them.
We here at IGN dedicate our day-to-day to delving into the fun and wonder of games and entertainment of all types so that we can share our excitement for them right alongside you. That said, we take what we do very seriously. Our editorial integrity is of the utmost importance to not only ourselves, but our audience. After allegations were brought against an IGN staff member for his review of Dead Cells, we conducted an investigation of this editor's process, ultimately leading to taking down the review in question and parting ways with this writer yesterday. We will work tirelessly to ensure that regardless of whether or not you agree with our reviews, you can have faith that every word is nothing less than the genuine opinion of our critics. We sincerely apologize to our readers, Motion Twin, and most especially the YouTuber known as Boomstick Gaming, for failing to uphold these standards. Nothing is more important to us than your trust. We will be re-reviewing Dead Cells this week, though, spoilers, much of our staff is already in love with the game. We hope you will check it out. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate their approach with it. Like I said, it's not fully resolved, and that's really all I have to say.
All right, cool, man. Okay. It's so cool.
I'll drop it off with one last question. Now that you've seen all this newfound success, right? What's next for you? What's next for Boomstick Gaming?
I'm kind of at a weird impasse, I guess. I've been unemployed for 6 months, and kind of, should I be looking for a job still right now, or should I be focusing on videos? I'm kind of trying to still do a little bit of both, because YouTube ad revenue and I mean, my Patreon's picking up, but YouTube ad revenue is, what most people know it is. I'm kind of at an impasse for a couple days. Ask me again in a couple days when everything's cooled down, and I'll tell you what I'm focusing on.
All right, man. But no, but thanks a lot, Alex, for joining us too, man. And how far are you in Dead Cells, man, before you leave? Are you far?
Well, I beat the PC version before review, and then I got the PS4 version maybe like 6 days ago. And beat that on my second run, so pretty proud of that one.
All right.
Which version do you like more, the PC or the console? Just curious.
Well, obviously the PC version is this like superior running version. Not that there's really much frame rate issues, but my 144 hertz monitor playing Dead Cells is going to be better than 60 hertz 4K TV. But what the console has is a couch.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
And the Switch. And the Switch on the go. And the Switch version on the go.
This is true.
It's hard to sometimes like focus on a game for long when you're on PC for me. I don't know what that is. Maybe that's just me. Maybe it's these chairs.
All right, Alex.
All right.
All right, man. But thanks for joining, man.
And yeah, yeah. Like thanks for having me on, guys.
No, absolutely. No problem, man. Thanks, man. Best of luck in the future.
Yeah. See you guys.
Take care, man. Make sure to check out Boostink Gaming channel on YouTube and support, subscribe, and everything, man. I know he didn't want to say much, man. I didn't want to, bring the situation up a lot, but I think it was a cool conversation. It was cool.
No, I mean, overall. At the end of the day, do you blame him?
I don't blame him at all.
He's got some serious, I can imagine, and I'm curious. I mean, I know we can't ask the questions at least, but I mean, the question begs, are there any legal ramifications that he can ascribe to as a result of everything that happened, right? At the end of the day, internet and YouTube content, it's that funny gray area. So does he have a legal ground? And if there's a lawsuit or whatever, or remunerations for potential, because of this could be a landmark case in the sense, because we really haven't seen anything from a judicial perspective with regards to something like this, where, we've seen it where music and artists, and like if you use a sample and you don't credit the artist, they can't put their stuff, that track gets removed, or they're forced to pay the original artist, right? And especially like you and I, we love hip hop. So when you have something like that, there's so many. I mean, hip hop is pretty much built on samples from a music production perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And so those samples are the building blocks for the music or the producer's work. Producer gets paid because of the tracks. In this case, Alex put out work. Philip copied his work, put it out for IGN. We don't know how many video views it got or how you monetize that in the sense. How does one remunerate Alex for the work he did?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and for the fact that this guy stole his joint.
I don't want to say much, but I know that they probably had a conversation behind the scenes.
Oh, no, they're still having conversations. Yeah. You heard it from him.
Yeah, and they're still having conversations. Of course. So that's why he was very careful on certain things, what he was going to say.
And it makes sense.
You know, so the thing is, and look, man, we're all human. Right. I the reason how I heard about Philip way before he got a job at IGN was he also started as a YouTuber. So, me, I'm always watching like videos on like about Nintendo Switch and all that stuff. Right. And Xbox and so on. So I found Philip on YouTube, and I used to watch a lot of his videos because I liked the style of editing, the style that he has. He always put up on YouTube and stuff. And, once I heard that he got a job at IGN, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, man. Somebody up and coming, working really hard, creating content independently. Now I got a job at IGN. That's for a lot of people, that's like a dream come true. That's like a dream job for them, right? So, then he took over. He's also the host of the Nintendo podcast for IGN.
Yep, NVC.
And I was like, yeah, that's cool, man. So then when I heard about this situation, I'm like, damn, man, that sucks, because I used to watch his videos and it was very, very disappointing, And look, man, we're human. Nobody's perfect. People are going to make mistakes, right? I hope he learned from these mistakes, man. I just don't want the gaming community to go and attack the whole IGN and Philip and get too nasty. Like, to me, it's just too much. That's why I gave props to Alex, man. Cause like the way he handled the whole situation was super classy, man. Mm-hmm. Super classy. And 100%. Then on top of that, seeing, Tina, our friend Tina.
Yeah.
The way how she handled the situation with her team and the way she was going back and forth, apologizing and everything, not only with the statement, but also personally from her Twitter account. That's I would love to see that more in our community, because when we go out there and start cursing and basically not classy at all publicly, that's whack.
Right.
To me, that's really cheesy and corny, man.
The question that has to be asked, and I'm going to keep asking this until I get an answer. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be you have to answer this now, or our listeners or viewers on Twitch or the people on Twitter. I want to see how this plays out over the next week or two, right? Like, what steps can we as creatives put in place to protect ourselves moving forward from something like this? Whether it's somebody at a major publication house such as IGN or Joe Pitipata on YouTube with his own channel.
What's up with that name?
I don't know. I had to come up with something, and I may have had a glass of scotch before we came on. What protects us as creatives and protects our content, our hard work from being poached, copy-pasted, or whatever, however you want to spin it, and put out for the benefit of somebody else? What protects us from the poach? Essentially, we're like the rabbit being hunted. What protects us from the hunter?
That's a great question, man. Because I know you brought up music. I wish I could have. Sorry to interrupt.
I could have asked Alex what he would like. I know he probably couldn't answer that, but I would have loved to have heard from his voice. And maybe we can talk to him afterwards, maybe whether it's offline or whatever. I just want to know personally what he would like to see as some kind – what would he like to see as protections moving forward, regardless of what's going on with him and his and IGN and Philip, et cetera. What would he like to see put in place, whether it's through Twitch, YouTube, Mixer – you know, whomever, you know, all of these platforms, what can these platforms do for us?
You know what? That's a great question, man. I know you brought up music earlier. Mm-hmm. It's different because there's laws, there's stuff that passed back in the days that if somebody copies another artist, could either sue or there's always a way when it comes to that music wise to get money when it comes to that. For our industry, there isn't really anything big that you can do. The only thing that I think was going to happen is with him is either, of course, his YouTube channel is probably going to grow even more, or maybe he'll get an opportunity from some website, a major website that probably likes his content and probably will hire him. You never know. So that's why you have to be really careful on the things that you say and do online, because there's people watching you, believe it or not. You'd be surprised the amount of people that probably are watching him, watching the stuff that he's posting on Twitter, and then they haven't really posted a comment. They've just been observing, and you never know. He might get an opportunity, man, because of this. Now this situation, Pete, what's going to happen with Philip? That's the great question I want to know, because he's fired from IGN.
Right. And
he's gone. And it sucks because he moved from New York City, I believe, to California for that job.
Well, we know it's not his first case of doing so. We saw that article from Jason Schreier at Kotaku. Shout out to him. We had him on the show last week. Yeah. Again, his investigative journalism is one of the tops in our industry. And it was uncovered through one of his tipsters that he did this prior to joining IGN. He had another instance of this happening. So, again.
You're asking the same question again. Come on.
I want to ask it, but I can't, because in this case, how does IGN protect themselves aside from deeper investigations of the people they hire?
Here's the thing, man. All right. Again, Tina, her team handled the whole situation perfectly, man. There's no way to catch that, man. Like, if you're an editor, it's super hard to find out if somebody actually copied somebody from a video, from a YouTube channel. It's pretty hard to do that, man. If you're an editor, Pete, how the hell are you going to find out about that? And now here's the thing too, Pete. In the past, we've been really careful on the things that we do in our podcast. Like, let's say I'm always working on like on a big interview, right? I keep it on the low. I don't say anything. I just say, sometimes I keep it on the low and I don't even tell you guys, Cause I'm just careful like that, man. You know, cause the thing that drives me crazy is, you know, we get a big, huge opportunity, right? And then I hear another bigger website actually doing it too. And it's like, man, sometimes, you know, I want us to create content that's unique and different. And you know what I'm trying to say? Like, sometimes I like to keep it as a surprise and not say anything to no one, man, until it's like officially stamped for us. Like, it's about to happen.
Right. You know? I mean, but going back to the protection, whether it's, you know, creative protections or corporate protections,
mm-hmm.
I mean, what happens if Alex wasn't a fan of IGN and never watched the video? I'm sure fans of his that were mm-hmm. fans of IGN may have seen the similarities and brought it up to his attention. Mm-hmm. But, and that might have been his only protection at that point. But in the case of IGN's, how much work are their teams doing? And again, this is no slight to the Jasons and Tinas and the people that we know and the people that actually put in the hard work and effort at IGN. But if a tipster could find it, someone that's not paid or works for IGN that has no financial or professional gain from it, how were they able to find the similarities in this guy's work from the past, but the person that hired them wasn't? And again, we don't know who was responsible for the hire. We don't know if somebody at HR just got lazy and said, look, he did a couple of videos, let's hire the dude. We don't know that.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to speculate, but we have to go back to the protections. Corporations have protections all day long because they've got the money, the cash flow, the bank account to afford the lawyer to protect them. But what protects us as creatives? What protects Alex from having his work poached? What protects you, me, and Paris from us doing our podcast? We did Hope County Stories as an example. What if somebody went and poached it and put that stuff out as their own content?
I know.
What are our protections? Look, like, we just had this happen at E3. Your video.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Paris. So let me explain what happened.
55,000, 56,000 views on Twitter.
All right.
You know, we had all this, you know, the whole Cyberpunk team loving us because of all the extra shine we got and they got, and they all loved it and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But Pete, hold on. Before you say anything, a lot of people don't know what you're talking about. So let me explain what happened. So was it on a Wednesday?
Yes, because that was the day that Paris was there to watch the...
So Wednesday, we were at E3, and you know that was the day that all of us were going to check out Cyberpunk for the first time. Pete went first, I went second, and Paris was going to go last. So we were like, all right, we're not going to say anything to each other. We're going to save that for the podcast when we're recording at the hotel. So it was the last session. Paris was there. So I go there, and I said to myself, man, let me record Paris' reaction of him coming out. I don't know what he's going to say,
mm-hmm.
or is going to be like with his mouth open or what. Let me record it. So I was waiting for him outside, and I recorded the whole thing. He comes out, and he was like, what? With his mouth open. Then he compared it to like different movies like, and so on, right? So I posted this only on Twitter. Like, I wasn't even thinking about Twitch or YouTube, Facebook. I just posted on Twitter. The video went viral that everybody was retweeting, adding Paris, adding me, retweeting the whole video. I forgot how many it was, like 60,000, I think it was.
56,000 or 57,000.
Something like that. All right. So what happened? Somebody was hitting me up from our listeners. They were like, Danny, there's a guy on YouTube that took your video and made it seem like it was his and posted it there. I was like, what? Yo, this guy had like, I think like 200,000, 300,000 views on YouTube. And he had ads too. So he's getting ads while I just posted on Twitter with no ads and I'm not getting no money on Twitter, right? So I was like, all right. So I reported him. I put the original link of the video, everything. All right. So then later the next day, another person, yo, Danny, there's another guy that has your video, but he has now multiple videos from other people too. And he made it in one, like a compilation to one, but he has your video is the first one. I was like, wow, again, 200,000, 300,000 views on YouTube plus ads. I reported him too. So it took Google, YouTube a couple days, but they basically shut down both videos. They removed it and stuff, you know, but that's a way for me to report it and then remove it if there's proof. But what happened if it's somewhere else outside of YouTube? Then you can't really, how the hell are you going to report that? You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, I think we talked a lot about this, Pete. Let's move on. Let's move on. All right. But here, I want to say this. Paris, he has an audio here that I'm going to play right now on the podcast. And once we come back, we have a couple other topics and also fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey, it's Paris. Allow me to jump in on this episode of Gamertag Radio. Just going to throw in a couple nuggets here really quick of information. Destiny 2, you know, that game I've been playing for the past 4 years. I'm obviously a huge fan of Destiny, and Bungie had their Twitch stream earlier this week, and it was the combat reveal of the sandbox. And they talked about some of the new weapon changes that are coming, just some of the new mods that are going to happen. I'm not going to go deep diving into this because you guys know I talk about Destiny all the time. But watching the stream, it gave me the idea. I always have my yearly chat with Deej. We have Deej on every year to talk about Destiny. I believe, we've done it 4 years in a row now. So I'm going to reach out to Deej and try and get all the details on Forsaken. Bungie even put out today, they actually showed the Dreaming City, a trailer for that. Just this is the biggest in-game content they've ever created. Just an entire city dedicated to the end game of Destiny 2, new raid coming, just all these amazing things that they're going to have. And hopefully, knock on wood, September 4th will be the revival of Destiny 2 compared to what it was a year ago at launch, and just, you know, a lot of people upset in the community. But I think Bungie has made some great strides over the past year trying to fix the game. I know I've jumped in and start playing again with the whole summer solstice, chasing some of that gear, and obviously the Whisper of the Worm, the successor to Black Spindle, just a lot of the little missions and things that they've added here in the last few months, which I view kind of as a preview to what we can expect for Destiny 2 Forsaken on September 4th. So I'm going to stop yapping about that. I'm sure people are rolling their eyes going, dude, stop talking about Destiny so much. I could be talking about a Division, or we could be arguing about Anthem again. But instead, like I said, I'll just leave you with, I'm going to reach out to Deej over at Bungie, see if I can get him to come on the podcast prior to launch of Forsaken so we can kind of deep dive into what we can expect on September 4th. And hopefully I'll see some of you listeners online. We can group up and play together, maybe even do a raid or something crazy like that. But before I get out of here, I want to talk about our sponsor, Blue Chew. Now, fellas, I'm 44 years old. Sometimes you need a little help, okay? You get older, you need a little boost, you need a little help where it counts. So let's talk about BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue, and it helps you to increase your performance and get that extra confidence in the bed. So listen up. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. You know what I'm talking about, fellas. So Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we have a special deal for our GTR listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code GTR. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code GTR to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring Gamertag Radio.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. Enough of the Dead Cells stuff situation. But by the way, Pete, you need to try out Dead Cells, man. Are you a fan of Ninja Gaiden?
Back in the day, yes.
All right. So Ninja Gaiden, with that one, it was more of you go from A to B, you fight the boss, right? And you continue. Back then, there was no saving. You can't save it at that at all.
Right.
So, plus you get weapons, you upgrade and all that, and your health. Okay. Dead Cells is kind of similar, but it's like you go from the beginning to the end of that level. There's multiple areas where you can get out, right? There's a lot of ways for you to upgrade, like for like damage, power, energy, everything. And sometimes you unlock hidden locations that the only way you could open that up is if you go like really fast, because in the game, there's like a time on the bottom right. You will see like the time and stuff. Mm-hmm. So based on your time, there's certain areas you could open it up. So let's say you have to be there in 40 seconds. If you get there in 40 seconds, that thing will open up and you will find money, more power-ups, weapons, all kinds of stuff. So that's cool. Now, there's also other locations that you will open up, like treasure chests, which, again, you unlock weapons or money. But there's some that there's like a challenge. Like, let's say you open it up, they give you multiple items for you and stuff, and then it'll say you need to kill 10 enemies without dying. I'm like, all right, so you do that and so on. Then you continue, Pete. You're upgrading and continue, right? Then you go to, let's say, the boss. Let's say you die at the boss, Pete. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You will go back and start from scratch. But there's a big but on this one. All the stuff that you unlock and that you've been, upgrading, you stay with it. You stay with it. And you got to go from the beginning. You continue once again. And maybe you probably go to like a different area and go and you find other things and, and so on. And then again, you fight with the boss and so on. And it's like that, dude, I've been dying. I don't know how many times, but I can't stop playing it. To me, it's like Tetris. You play Tetris. You play in the hardest difficulty. And let's say you have over 100 lines, right? And it's going so fast. You die. Let's say you game over. Damn, I got to start from scratch. You start from line one. it's like that with Dead Cells. Like, there's no saving. Like, oh, I'm in the last boss. I'm going to save it here. No, you die. You start from scratch. The only difference is you have all the power-ups and everything you've been collecting.
All the gear that you accumulated up at
everything.
That point.
Yes. And once you start a beginning, you see all the stuff like in this like bottles on top of the the ceiling that's hanging, all the stuff that you'll be unlocking and some that it's like you're about to unlock and you see it, you can notice there.
But that's right? Not always the best thing, because sometimes if you die and you've got like no ammo, you're like, okay, well, if I die, I come back from the last restart and I've got ammo there. No, you die. You don't have any ammo. You're screwed.
No, but you never run out of ammo. Well, so you have like an arrow, let's say, right? And you use that. Mm-hmm. It will probably get stuck on one of the enemies and you could go back and pull it off the body. Use it again. Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing that I use the most is swords. There's some that some machines too that you could drop on the floor and it would shoot the enemy automatically. And they will heat up and then you got to wait until it comes back again and then it shoots again to the enemy. So, dude, like the game is so... Honestly, game contender, best game of this year so far, in my opinion. Whoa. Is up there. Top five. Yeah, I'm dead serious, dude. And I play a lot of games. I put it up there. That game is so freaking good, man.
That's a bold statement.
And it's cheap. Hey man, it's honestly one of the biggest surprises so far. Because I know David, our friend David, he was the one like, Danny, you need to play this. It's your type of style of game. You will love this, man. You will love this. And he mentioned to me, like, yo, he's gotten to like the second boss straight without dying. I'm like, what? This game is freaking hard, man. This game is whole freaking hard, man. But yo, I honestly highly, highly recommend to play this, man. I don't care what platform, PC, Xbox, PlayStation, Switch. Look, I haven't on Xbox and also on the Switch, and I've been playing both at the same time. Like, you know, when I'm like watching TV, I play the Switch version. Actually, I was ahead on Xbox. I was unlocking a lot of achievements. So then I got the Switch version, and dude, now I'm ahead of the Switch compared to the Xbox. I'm way ahead now on the Switch version.
You should you should bring back that Cafe Con Denny and do a gameplay stream.
You know what? I probably will do that.
Dude. I really recommend you to do this, Danny.
I would do that because I know you're not gonna stream.
It's not my type of game, but I know I know you enjoy this type of game. This is kind of like your thumper alternate, right? This is something, especially if you try to like maybe speed run it or something like that while playing it on the stream. I think that would be a good way to maybe coerce people who are watching it that were maybe on the fence. Oh, do I get Dead Cells? Do I not? You know, this might be a good way to sway a viewer or two over to buying and picking it up, man.
Yeah, I should do that. But here's the thing, a speed run. Sometimes it's good to do that because you unlock a lot of stuff. And sometimes I just want to take my time and collect cells, man. Collect cells everywhere. Collect them so I can unlock and upgrade my weapons
and powers and all that.
Yeah, basically, man. So, the thing is, everybody's going to have their own way, their own style. They're going to have their favorite weapons. So everybody's going to have their own experience, man, So, and there's so many ways to get out from the different levels and so on.
And it's single player only, or can you get
single player only? Okay. Oh, and by the way, there's this thing too, because I unlock it once you finish the first boss. There's a daily challenge which is always changing. I actually played for the first time today. I don't know if it's going to be there only for 24 hours, but I know if you beat that level, it will go to the leaderboards too, and you'll see like people from all around the world that been competing too for that finish also that daily challenge. So you're gonna get content all the time, man. The daily challenge, so it's dope. It's really, and let me tell you, it is hard. There's enemies there that I haven't seen, and it was part of the daily challenge. I'm like, damn, this thing is freaking hard, man. So yeah, highly recommend that. You know, I'm probably gonna stream it on Twitch, man, because a lot of people are probably like,
do it.
I did that with Cuphead.
Right.
I was streaming that like crazy, and I finished the game while streaming it. Yeah. We'll see. By the way, Pete, let's talk about this Smash Brothers announcement, man.
Okay.
Because I know we mentioned it earlier. I know you're not like a huge Smash Brothers fan. Look, I am a casual Smash Brothers fan. Like, I'm very casual. I play a lot with my nephews. They're huge fans of that. And my brother. My brother is a huge fan of Smash. Yeah. Huge. But here's the thing about this game that I'm like, yo, Nintendo just don't give a F, man. They don't care, man. They don't care. Dude, 70 fighters, over 100 stages, 900 music tracks.
28 hours of music.
Have you ever heard of a game like that from Nintendo? I've never heard. Honestly, I've never heard that from the big three. I've never heard that from PlayStation or Xbox. This is the first time I'm hearing this, that Nintendo's going all out like this, man. And this is the ultimate version.
And you can, when playing in handheld mode, the music can be played while the Switch screen is turned off.
Yes, which is dope. I think that's dope. That's dope. And plus, 32 player tourney you could do online and also local. Man, that's dope. To play that with your friends at your house, doing that. There's so much content, man. So much freaking content. Even Mandy on Twitter was like, oh my God, I'm excited for this game. Like, dude, honestly, even if you're not a fan of that game, Pete, you appreciate the amount of stuff
absolutely.
That's in there.
Absolutely.
And I would love to see that from other companies, man. Like, yo, just go all out. Go crazy. Like, I think the only thing that I could come up with that is kind of like that, but it was kind of a little bit of a failure, man. Okay, it wasn't 100% there, was the Master Chief Collection. It was like, oh, a lot of, you know, all the Master Chief games was in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like the closest one maybe I can think of. Or, no, you know what? From the 360, the orange box.
Valve. You remember? Give it up to Gabe, buddy. Give it up to Gabe.
That's
give it
up to Gabe. One. That's
give it up to
what?
Gabe.
That's first time playing Portal there? What? Oh, my
console
God.
Console players playing Team Fortress for the first time?
Yeah. I mean, I know Sega have done, like, you know, they have like a bunch of their old game compilations. Yeah. But I'm not talking about compilation. I'm talking about more of, yo, it's a new game. And they're just adding crazy amount of content in there, man. Like, honestly, as a Nintendo Switch owner, I'm freaking happy that Nintendo's making this move, man. It's freaking dope.
I got one.
Well, okay, which one?
What? The Switch? I got a Switch. I don't have a game. I don't have the game, but...
No. Well, no, you say you got one. Like, what?
No,
what,
I said I have the Switch. You say, like, I was just pulling it out.
Oh. I thought you got a game. Like, which one, Pete? Which one?
No, I mean, hell, we saw it. Like, you and I played it at E3 upstairs in the booth.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I wrecked you the first game, and then you came back, and then you beat me, and then... I beat Wayne. And then I let you play Wayne, and then y'all got something personal going on right now.
Yeah, I was going back and forth, man. That's dope.
But I, again, going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, I just don't understand. I'm just not a gaming fight. Maybe I'm just not a button smash fighter fan.
Here's the thing, Pete. But you like Tekken. You like Tekken,
on.
Right?
Hold on. Let me finish. Let me get my story out. I can appreciate a good fighting game when done well between two skilled opponents. Like, when I play my wife and I get washed, I don't like that. When I play you and I beat you like I did last year, 2017 E3, I loved it. You and I got a 1-1 tie, so you and I still got beef to settle.
Yeah, we definitely got to do that. definitely. You know what? And people also got to understand, man, everybody's going to have their own game, like your own type of game. It's not everybody's gonna love Smash, you know, but I just appreciate that Nintendo's doing this, man. And I hope, because of this move that they're making, I hope to see that from other companies, man, even third-party companies. Yo, go all out with content, man, because games are really expensive nowadays, man. $59.99, yo, it adds up after a while, man, for like big titles like that, you know. So hey, why not go all out, man? Why not? Honestly, even if you're not a fan of Nintendo, that's good for us, man. As like the consumers, dude, this is freaking huge. I love that. Freaking dope. Now, that's a good question, man. For those that are not watching Twitch, but one of the questions is how do you think like the download is going to be? Because I'm a little worried about that too, man. What you think, Pete?
20 gig?
Nah, man. No way. There's no way that's 20 gigs. There's no way. Hey, maybe it'll surprise me. Who knows? But anyways, Pete, we have fan mail here, right?
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
First mail number one.
Hello, Gamertag Radio. This is Pants from Colorado Springs. I love your podcast, and all three of you are very opinionated, and I really like it, especially you, Paris. And I have two questions for you. What do you guys think of Metal Gear Solid 5? I've tried to look in the catalog, and I can't find an episode from 2015 around September about Metal Gear Solid 5. And what are your five favorite new generation games? Thank you, and love the podcast.
Top five new generation games.
Top five.
This generation, so like an Xbox One / PS4.
Yeah, and PC too.
PC and or...
Okay, let's go with
PC and
PlayStation 4 and Xbox One,
PC Switch, and Switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I have to say it. PUBG.
I knew you were going to say that.
Of course I was going to say that. Did you think I was going to say something else?
That's it? That's all? That's all your number five?
No. Not at all. Yeah. Uncharted. Uncharted 4, A Thief's Tale. What is it? A Thief's Tale, A Thief's End, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say Destiny Vanilla. Vanilla Destiny. Okay. That's three. Mm-hmm. Mario Odyssey 4.
That's a good one.
Rocket League. Rocket League.
Rocket League? That's a dope one. Great choice. That's fine. All right, I go with The Witcher.
Oh, the damn Witcher, it. P. Damn it.
Forgot The Witcher.
Damn it.
Ori and the Blind Forest.
Paris is going to yell at me for not including The Witcher 3 in that first
game. I have to add also Fortnite, because Fortnite changed the game to me, man. I've been playing that, game like crazy. Yo, dude, I've been playing that game. Yo, that's my choice, man. You said PUBG. Let me go with my choice, man. Anyways.
He just did it better than PUBG.
Oh, God, please. Just make it way more than PUBG.
Actually, you didn't even hear what I just said. I just said they're doing it better than PUBG.
Oh. Are they doing better?
Look at you. You automatically pulled out the sword. Like you were just
What? Oh, God,
no.
Whatever.
No.
All right. The next one, Mario Odyssey. For sure.
Definitely go with that.
You know what? Dude, man. This is going to be a tie
on this one.
I think Cuphead goes up there. / Dead Cells. I know it's early. I know it's too early, but dude, those games are good. Because you know what, Pete? The reason why I mentioned those two games is because the difficulty, and it's a lot of fun. So much fun. And I think a lot of the games nowadays, a lot of them are too easy, man.
Well, there's also other games that we didn't even talk about that we didn't add in there. Horizon Zero Dawn. Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice. Okay,
I haven't played Horizon, so I can't really... God of War, I'll put God of War up there.
God of War,
that's a really good. I put that more higher than the last Uncharted, because last Uncharted was cool, it was dope, but I think God of War, that game killed it, man. That game, oof, classic, man, for PlayStation game for sure. Yeah. Shovel Knight's a good one too. That's a good one.
Man, we could sit here and argue a lot.
I know he mentioned about Metal Gear Solid. Honestly, our old co-host, Patrick, he talked about that long time ago. I can't remember what episode. I know he mentioned it because he played it and talked about it. But me personally, I've never been a fan of Metal Gear. Pete, were you? Because I've never been a fan, like hardcore. Only the NES and 2. That's the only ones that I really play.
I appreciate the place where
the story,
where Solid Snake and everybody else in that universe are. I can't say that I've ever finished a Metal Gear Solid title ever in my life.
That's fine. But see, and you know
what?
People are
right. What? Going back to that five of this generation, we didn't mention Zelda.
Dude, that's a good one to have, man. It's really hard.
We could have this battle all day long and keep jumping titles and whatever.
You know what? I bet there's probably listeners right now listening. They're like, oh, they're not real gamers, man. They didn't mention this game.
Some people
just
threw their iPhones in disgust.
Or they will say, oh, they're talking too much of they're talking too much Nintendo, man. I can't listen to this, man.
No, let's not go there. Let's go next question. I don't want to touch that, dude. Next question.
All right. Play the next question. It's all good. Go.
Okay. Voicemail 2.
Hey, guys. This is Cliff calling from Buffalo, New York. I'm a very, very long time listener ever since the OG Xbox days. I wanted to call to remark on Paris's discussion that they had on episode 777 about the N-word. I do totally agree that the word should not be used. I am African American. I don't know if you could tell by my voice or whatever. And it is something that, you know, disturbs me every single day. I do have a problem with using it around my family and just around my boys, things like that, you know. So like, I understand where Paris is coming from. Like, I shouldn't use it, but I do use it. But I do have a problem with someone of a certain, of a different race using it. Because it was a word that was invented to bring us as a people down, and we turned it around to make it, like Pete said on the episode, as a term of endearment. So Paris, I absolutely understand exactly where you were coming from. It's a word that should not be used. It is a very nasty word. It is a disgusting word. And I can't wait for the day where that word is like extinct from the American vocabulary. I love what you guys have been doing. Keep up the great work. Like I said, I've listened to you guys for years. Back when I used to have a Zoom, I used to listen to you guys. Like I said, I love what you guys do. You guys have great discussions. I listen to you all the time, like literally all the time. I listen to you on Stitcher right now because I lost my iPod, so I have to listen to you through Stitcher. But you guys are great. Keep up the great work. And hopefully one day I'll be Gamertag NYC's own bad guy on Xbox Live. Peace out.
Thank you for the voicemail, but my guy, keep him short. Paris just threw his iPhone across the car because it was 2 minutes, 30 seconds. Yeah. No, but
it's
thank
all
you for
good,
your,
man.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the message. We appreciate your support and for listening to the show. And, you know, what we said then still stands. It should not be
agreed.
A word that's in our lexicon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, until the world itself changes to the point where it doesn't matter about race or gender, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
it's an unnecessary evil, and it's not wanted. It's not desired. It's not cared for, especially here on this podcast. So
mm-hmm. Definitely, right. Man. By the way, he mentioned Zoom. Woof. Wow. Since the Zoom days,
he said,
talk
about going back.
Actually, I got to give a shout out to one of our listeners that, he emailed us. Let me see. I'm going to give him a shout out. His name is Philip. He listens to the show using his Zune software still to this day. I didn't know that even existed, man. And he said that he was having issues, that he couldn't get the latest episodes through the news, through the Zune and all that stuff. I was like, what? I can't believe people are still to this day using Zune. That is crazy. But that's dope. Very cool. All right. And P, I know we have another one coming in. One last one.
Not as long, hopefully.
All right, let's go.
Hey, what's going on? Gamertag Radio. Once again, this is Jacob giving you guys a call from Charlotte.
Hold on. I had to pause it because goddammit, for the first 5 seconds of that, I thought it was Keon all over again.
You wait, that what?
I thought that was Keon all over again. I was like,
oh, but it's not. It's not though, right?
I had to pause the show. I thought it was Keon all of a sudden.
Hey. Is that Keon or no?
It's somebody else. Oh, but I heard he sounded exactly like it. He sounded exactly like Keon. I had to pause the show and everything.
Yo, Keon, they copy you, man. There you go, man. You got to report. You got to report that, man. It's always copying you, man. Plagiarism right there.
All right, let's try this again for the show.
All right,
this is not Keon.
Hey, what's going on? Gamertag Radio. Once again, this is Jacob giving you guys a call from Charlotte. This call question is for Paris and Danny. Sorry, Pete, but I feel that you might not have as strong views on this topic. You might, I don't know. But basically, Spider-Man, once again, being developed by Insomniac Games, Sunset Overdrive. I personally thought it was garbage. Hated the game, not a fan of it at all. But I see a lot of people coming from E3 that are liking Spider-Man are also, you know, praising Sunset Overdrive. So my question being for Paris and Danny, because Paris, I don't think you like Sunset Overdrive. Danny, I believe you did. So what are you guys' thoughts on Spider-Man with, you know, the developer pedigree behind it, being that their last major game was Sunset Overdrive, and a lot of people that are hyping the web-swinging and traversal were a fan of, you know, Sunset Overdrive. I mean, I might be biased. I really didn't like that game, and I'm really worried about Spider-Man. Please, put my worries to rest, or Paris, as you do so best, just be honest.
Well, apparently, since it's not for me, Danny, this is all for you, dude. Spider-Man, PS5, PS4.
A lot of people that loves Sunset Overdrive, they will say that they love the design, the world, how big it is, the stuff you could do in there. You know, I think the first few minutes was kind of... I think the first hour was a little bit complicated because you didn't know what to do. And it was like the tour was too long and so on, right? So then I finished the game and I love the story. I love once you upgrade the character, the music, the story was so much fun. Now, is that going to be exactly like Spider-Man? No, Spider-Man is going to have like its own story and everything. And honestly, I know a lot of you guys didn't really like Sunset Overdrive, but if you go to all the reviews of Sunset Overdrive, there was nothing but great, great feedback about that game. Now, what is it that you're so worried about Spider-Man? Because every person that we've spoken to, and we even had an opportunity to play that game at E3, but we didn't because we were like in a hurry. We had to go to like another meeting and so on, so we didn't get to play and stuff. But plus the line, well, once we got there, was pretty long, right, Pete? It was freaking long. So we couldn't really play and stuff. But the thing is, it's just Spider-Man is going to be, I think, 2-3 times even bigger than Sunset Overdrive. So open world-wise, there's so much stuff that you could do in that game. And plus, there's going to be a lot of like side missions and so on. And it's fun. It's Spider-Man. Like, Pete, I know years back, I can't remember exactly which event you went to. But I know it was an Activision event, and you went to a Spider-Man event, I think, right? Was mm-hmm. it a Call of Duty and Spider-Man? Both
it
at the same time?
It was Call of Duty 007 and Spider-Man mm-hmm. Web of Shadows. It was like 3-in-1.
And here's the thing. Every Spider-Man game that we played in the past wasn't really 100% up there, man. Something was missing. And in your opinion, Pete, that last Spider-Man game that you got to play back in the days... Yes. What do you think it was a lot of fun, like all the way up there, or you think there was something missing with that game?
I enjoyed it a lot. The only thing that kind of killed the gameplay for me was because mm-hmm. it's not true open world. You're in that sandbox environment. You could be mm-hmm. swimming, you could be, you know, web swinging through like streets, which hopefully if they can still capture that in this game.
Oh, this is going to happen.
Oh, I know. Like we've seen the video, we've seen the gameplays and stuff like that. And, you know, yeah, you can swing, wall run back to, you know, web swinging. You can, you know, go through windows in buildings while you're swinging. A lot of that functionality wasn't in Web of Shadows. So you could be swinging, you hit a wall, you drop down to the ground, you had to start back over again. You got to the end of the city, you literally hit a wall and had to start over again.
Oh, that's
and
whack.
I think because of when it was, I mean, nine years ago versus now, versus now with the technology and where we can go, you know, what these consoles can do. Yeah, it's a lot more open. You have a lot more, you know, it's a lot more, you know, wide open and dynamic for the player to be able to do those things. Whereas before, it was literally web shoot, swing, web shoot, swing. You didn't have a lot of variation in your abilities. But other than that, your ability when you were fighting people was a lot of fun, though. I will say that you're you know, shooting webs, you know whether, you know, the super shoot where you're literally encasing your opponent in goo, you know, shooting for the eyes and just covering the head, things like that. Those were all reminiscent of moves that you saw in the comic books. So hopefully Sucker Punch has gone back and done some of their homework and changed added
Sucker Punch.
Insomniac and changed or added a lot of those features in. Sorry.
You know what? I think that all the stuff that they learned from Sunset Overdrive and all their past games, they were like, yo, this is a big franchise, Spider-Man. Let's make this right. And they learned from their mistakes from the previous games and made it better for this version. Even through our interviews, they've been saying that they learned so much. And every journalist that talks about Spider-Man will always bring up Sunset Overdrive. That game is special, man. That game to me is honestly, and I should have mentioned the top five. I should have mentioned Sunset Overdrive. That to me is one of my favorite games from this generation. Actually, one of my favorite games for the Xbox also.
Hmm.
You know, so it's a dope game, man. I think a lot of people just was concentrating so much on the gimmick and the some of them were like not great jokes and so on. And they forget about like the actual gameplay and that the boss battles that you have in there. You know what I'm saying? Like I had one of the best boss battles in that game. Multiple boss battles. That was like, damn, this is so dope. Why people are not playing this? I really didn't care much about the multiplayer. I know they had it in there. I don't care. I was more about the single player of that game and anything. So I'm excited. I'm picking up Spider-Man for the PlayStation. You're going to pick it up too, Pete, or no?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Considering my love for comic books in general, you know I'm going to be all over that. I have to.
Okay. That's good. And we're definitely going to talk about the game because, yo, it's out in a couple weeks. That's crazy.
Was it 4 weeks?
Yeah, it's out in a couple weeks, man. That's it. So we're definitely going to be talking about it. Hopefully Paris is also going to get a copy too. So yeah, we're definitely going to have like a whole round table review about it, man. So by the way, before we wrap it up, I want to say this. I'm going to Columbus, Ohio next week. I'm going there for Call of Duty World Champs Championship. I'm going to be there for a couple of days, a whole weekend and stuff. So I already been talking to a couple of people from our community, especially Arctic, Trey, you know, Marcus P that used to work for EA. He lives over there. He's going to go to, he's going to go and hang out with me and everything too.
Tank?
So no, not Tank, okay. Not Tank. Marcus, come on. I'll tell you who it is later, but, yeah, we're going to be hanging out all of us. And actually I'm going to take also a couple of our listeners to, Call of Duty World League. So they could, I want them to, because like this is everybody's first time seeing this live. So I want them to get that experience because, you know, I've been going to a lot of esports events, a lot of them. And, man, I would love to, like, I always thought about that. Man, I would love to bring listeners here, man, you know. So I decided to take all three of them. I'm going to take them to the event and just get their experience. I want their reaction, too, as a gamer, a fan of just games, seeing this live and stuff, man. Because it's crazy going on the last final day, the last day of Call of Duty War League.
Right.
Watching that live, it is insane, man. Insane. The crowd gets crazy. Everybody cheering for like their favorite team. And oh, man, it's dope, man. You're watching at home on Twitch. Yeah, it's cool and everything. But nothing is like watching an event, even a sporting event, any sport event. Watching it live is dope, man. It's super, super cool. So that's going to happen next week. Hopefully, I'm going to record the reaction soon, and I'll post it here on Gamertag Radio. But if you live there in Columbus, Ohio, let me know. It's my first time going over there. I've never been there, ever. So it's going to be very, really interesting, man. I'm going to have a lot of fun over there, man. What else? Oh, by the way, couple things here. We got nominated for the Latin Podcast Awards. Don't know how that the process is going to work, but we got nominated. So shout out to the team over there. Also, Lux Life Magazine. It's a huge magazine from the UK, a digital magazine. Also nominated us for, oh my God, for toys, games, gadgets, or something like that. So shout out to them. I'm probably going to find out like in September or October if we win or not. So it's cool. Hey, people are giving us props, Pete. So I'm good with that.
Can't complain. You know? Thank you.
Can't complain.
Much.
Thank you very much, man. And thanks for those that nominated us, man. So really cool. What else? Oh, PAX West. I'm going to be part of a panel. Still don't know if I'm going to be flying to Seattle. I most likely will do like a Skype or Discord video for this panel and stuff. And we're going to talk about Latin in games, Latinos in games. So in the gaming industry and so on. So we're definitely going to talk about that, man. So and hopefully on Sunday, we'll talk about this Red Dead Redemption 2 gameplay trailer that's coming out by the time you hear this. So we're going to talk about that on Sunday. So Pete, how'd your kids, how'd your wife? Make sure watch that. Make sure to watch it live. And I want to get your reaction, man, on Sunday on the podcast.
I'll be there.
Anything else from your side, Pete?
No, that's it. I'm hyped. And for those that are curious, I am looking forward to Spider-Man. Home pit, you know, that's my home screen on my phone. Venom and Spider-Man.
Oh. Is he your favorite character from Marvel? Spider-Man?
He's close. He's up there with one of my favorites. I've just always loved the whole symbiotes and stuff like that. But yeah, I wouldn't say he's my favorite Marvel character. No, I can't say that.
Okay.
But yeah, that's about it. I thought I was getting a key for We Happy Few. Apparently I am not, so I will not.
You're not? Really? I thought you did got it.
So did I. But then when I looked in my folder, it was the alpha from like 2 years ago.
Oh, no. Well, so we'll okay. See. I'll explain to you what's going on with that. I explain to you. I'm in the same situation, Pete. Because I got that game early too, but I'll tell you about that later. All right, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, check us out. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to tune in over there and subscribe. Share with your friends. If you're listening to this right now, either you're walking, driving, taking a bus, maybe riding a bike, and so on. If you're listening to this, you like the content, our discussion, send us an email. If you want, call us or record a voicemail, send to fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or if you can, share this podcast to your friends or your family members. Let them know about Gamertag Radio and help us get the word out about GTR, man. And that's about it. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.